Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Welcome to this edition, Wednesday hump day edition of The Cave Show with PLR. Hopefully everyone is doing well, doing great. The NFL draft is tomorrow. What a difference between last year and this year for the draft. City streets were packed last year. No one will be out this year. I'm really interested to see how the NFL pulls this off. But we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Today's show is loaded as usual. 105, we have the superback, Sean Sierra, TV radio personality, back in Chicago, host of the Sean and Maya in the Morning Show on Sports Zone Chicago. And at 130, Arizona sports personality and wrestling, or rather wrestling aficionado, my main man, the one and only Derek Montilla, who will be joining us at 130. So let's get into it. We don't have time to waste. We are brought to you, of course, by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located locally in Chandler, Arizona. Get in there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you, hook you up with 10% off. You're sitting at home. You have nothing else to do. Drive over there and get your stick. You can't go in. You can't go in and pick. But what they will do is they will bring the stick out to you. So you can either call in advance, or you can get there and find out what the specials of the day are. There's always a special going on. If you can't make it there, or you live out of state, or you live out of city, just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. If you are in state, it'll probably be shipped out same day. Your order will. One of the best selections you're going to find for cigars. That's StogieWorld.com if you're online, and Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco if you are local. Don't forget, if you're local, let them know PLR sent you 10% off. Phone lines today, 917-889-7828. I am not opening the phone lines. I see I've got a couple people on hold. We're not going to open the lines until about 20 minutes or so after the hour, 25 minutes after the hour. So hang with me today. I know Monday we didn't open at all. Yesterday we did. But we are ready to roll. Hopefully everyone is doing well. One news I do want to hit, I know I said it yesterday, just want to make sure everyone knows it and heard it. Well, I'm sure you know it by now. But Gronk was traded. He is now a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you know what? Okay, so I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback for this because Brady is not the quarterback that you're going to say I'm about to compare him to. By any stretch of your imagination, he's not Baker Mayfield. He's a winner, the best quarterback we've ever seen play, all that. I get it. But with football, I'm going to tell you, always watch out for the hype. Be careful of the hype. We're talking about all the things that Tampa Bay has. We're talking about all the ways they're going to be able to challenge the Saints, Panthers, and the Falcons. They haven't played it down together with Tom Brady as quarterback on offense. It's not the same offense that he's ran all those years in New England. It's completely different. Gronk is a year removed from playing football. It's completely different. There is no spring, no OTAs, none of that. It is completely different. Tom Brady's a year older. If everything goes right and all the social distancing is lifted, and guys are able to go back out and practice, and all these things end up working out later in the year, they will not have time to get as acclimated as they normally would if everything in the world was going the same way. Acclimation time will be different. Offense will always be a little bit behind the defense. And this is no knock on what they did in New England. But you never have to worry about really beating the Jets or Buffalo or Miami. You have to worry about beating the Falcons. You have to worry about beating the Saints. You have to worry about beating the Panthers. Not that the Patriots ever did, but going 0-2 in their division, it's going to be a lot different than if the Buccaneers go 0-2 in their division. So don't get me wrong. I'm not selling short Tom Brady. I know who he is. I know what the resume is. You can at me if you want. I could care less. I'm just saying, I'm not ordering my Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl shirts yet. When they haven't played, they haven't built any camaraderie, they haven't done anything together, they're not on the same rhythm, everything is different, the offense will look different, and they haven't snapped the ball once. And he's 43. I'm just saying. But with that being said, I want to bring on the man himself, my main man from Chicago. He is the dude, my brother, my partner, the super back TV radio and personality, host of the Sean and Maya in the Morning Show on Sports Zone Chicago. Sean Sierra, super back. What's up, brother?
PLR, what's up, baby? How you doing?
What's going on, man, y'all? I love Chicago. I don't know if I come back for a while, y'all. Y'all in a tough spot.
Dude. You know when you come back, you know you're coming on my show. Don't even trip. You're coming on my show in the new studio. So you know you got a spot when you come back to the shot.
I'm ready, but you know, when I do come, you know it's gonna be warm. Cause if I can't wear shorts, I can't come to the city.
Hey, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
What's going on, bro? How you doing? Everything good?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. You know, just maintaining, doing this quarantine thing with like everybody else. But it's I'm maintaining. I am.
Good deal. And congrats on Sports Zone Chicago. That's good to see.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
So, you know me. I'm Chicago to the heart. Always will be. Always has been. And I'm watching this Last Dance. And all those memories from then are coming back. I know the city hasn't stopped talking about the Last Dance. What's the vibe around Chicago right now?
Let's just say this. It was a whole bunch of grown-ass men playing dress-up. Everybody's in their bull stuff. First of all, you got to have your Jordans on. Then everyone's got their bull stuff, their Michael jersey, their bull shoot-arounds. Hey, I did my show on Tuesday, on Monday. The day after, in the same shooting shirt, same warm-up shirt that the Bulls wore in '98, that I still have. I had my Bulls hat. Dude, we are in love right about now. You talk about some grown men literally acting like kids. The kids are getting to see the way their dads are looking. Like, Dad, what's wrong with you? They are just. I'm telling you, the vibe here is phenomenal. You know, people were. I'm telling you, this is how crazy it got. People were posting on Facebook the outfits they were going to wear Sunday night to watch The Last Dance. I am not lying.
From home.
From home. In the house.
From home. Listen, I knew the city. Now, here's the best part. How many stories have you heard from the old heads? You know, I remember I was here when this happened. Because everybody got a story now. Everybody remember something. Everybody had a friend and knew a friend and had a friend. That had insight. What's the stories going on? What's that like?
Man, the stories are great, man. You know, a lot of people in and around here, some people were covering it. Some people were still teenagers. So the stories are insane. They're crazy from what they were doing when that was going on to, you know, actually, you know, either at the house or, you know, in the parade to, you know, some young bucks. Well, now they're not young, but they were young bucks just getting into the biz, and they were covering the Bulls. The stories are just out of this world, man, out of this world.
Okay, so do you think, and just what you've seen so far and from covering sports in Chicago, and I've always been not a fan of Jerry Krause. I never have, and this is proving my point, but my question is, are we letting Reinsdorf off the hook? Because in the last episode, he said Phil's going to be our coach. He got on a plane, went to Montana, signed him for $6 million, came back, coached the last year. Couldn't he have vetoed all that Klaus crap and said, listen, as long as they're winning, we're going to keep doing it? Isn't he culpable in some of this too?
You know, because here's where people want their cake and they want to eat it too, you know, is that how many people like Jerry Jones, right? Tons of people don't like Jerry Jones. Why? Because he's always meddling in the business, all right? If you hire somebody to do a job, which he hired Krause to do, Krause did his job. He was doing his job. Now, he may have done it wrong. It got personal. But do you step in because, you know, he was just like a, when it comes to basketball, it is. He was a hands-off owner for all intents and purposes. You know, baseball is another story because plus he's made some comments as well. He made some comments as well, and his business savvy really pissed a lot of people off. Remember when he signed Michael to $30 plus million for the last two years, you know, Reinsdorf said, hey, you know what? I hope you don't make me regret this is what he told him.
Right.
And, you know, in Mike's head, he's probably like, dude, the reason you have the United Center is because of me. The reason the team is valued at over $1 billion is because of me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I agree with you. If he wanted to, he could have said, no, let it run its course. Tim Floyd said, let it die naturally. Let it die naturally. If he wanted to, he could have. But remember, he's not a big basketball dude. Basketball is paying the bills. Basketball is bringing in the money. You know, but he's truly a baseball guy. I don't know if you remember, but you know, I damn sure do. When he said he would trade the six titles in for another World Series ring, because he's a big baseball guy. So you know, it's easy for him to say that, and it just goes to show how he didn't care. Because how do you not give Michael Jordan a piece of the management, or put him in a management position when he's done? How do you not do that? You know what I mean? It's the greatest player in the world ever. He exponentially increased your wealth, and you don't. And the thank you is, yeah, hope you don't make me regret this. And no, yeah, you're not going to be part of the management team, the front office as well. Yeah, he is culpable to a certain extent. Yeah, I will agree with that.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, on the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only Sean Sierra, the Superback. So in saying what you said, he paid with an investment group $9.2 million to buy into the Bulls, and they are now worth $3.2 billion. So it's almost asinine for him to sit there when you know, hindsight being 2020 and being revisionist and think, wow, $30 million for Jordan. Hell, he could have paid Jordan $90 million a year and still would have turned a profit. So when you think back, that may have been probably one of the dumbest comments that any owner could have said about any player.
Yeah, you know, the they did some comparisons to what it would have been. Like the salaries of Michael. So in the 91, the first title was 2.5. Second title, he was making 3.2. And the third title, he's making 4. He comes back in in 95-96, the fourth title, he's making 3.8. Okay, and then that's when the fifth title, he made 30. Compared, if that was in today's salary with inflation, that would be $49.26 million. That'd be almost $50 million. Do you realize nobody got paid $30 million until recently, until after 20 years? After 20 years, nobody got in the NBA got paid $30 million. That shows you 20 years. That's how awesome and how amazing and what a profit, a revenue generator Michael was.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you look at it, I'm not going to diss anyone. He's a Sun Devil. But when you look at a James Harden who's going to average $42 million and the worth that he brings to the Rockets with no titles, jersey sales aren't the same, no shoes, no anything. And you get away with paying Jordan 33 and you're griping about it. To me, that has to be the, again, when I look back, I just go, wow, how is that possible? Dude built you a stadium. How are you complaining? But, you know, maybe that's why the Bulls broke up, because no one had a good rational thought.
You know what? It's part of it. And you know what? Had Jerry stuck, and this goes to show you that his lack of, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. When you have that team, you let it ride. You let them ride. You know what? And, you know, you heard Michael say on the documentary, like, you know what? I think it's disrespectful for the people who are in here, you know, who made you a profitable business to shut it down. You know, and he was right. Like, why should we have to end this? Because you have a personal beef with me, Krause. You know, you have a personal thing with Phil because you're all in your feelings and salty because of the fact that you didn't get enough. You feel you didn't get enough credit when you won two Executive of the Year awards. I mean, how much more does he want? You know what? He's not one of the cool kids. All right. That's the bottom line. He's not one of the cool kids. He never was going to be one of the cool kids. He wanted to be one of the cool kids. And that's the thing that got him. You know what? People need to know their role sometimes. And back then, you got to remember, GMs aren't as flash, didn't have the cachet, aren't as flashy as they are now. Now it's the GM. Now it's, you know, now you got to find the next new GM, the best GM, the best this. It wasn't like that back in 97, 98. Okay. It wasn't. You know, he was way forward thinking. That was way ahead of his time. And no one was buying it. All right. Nobody cared. And truth be told, he wasn't, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but he wasn't aesthetically. He was a short, fat, ugly dude. Okay. And not made for TV, not made for magazines. You know what I mean? Like, no one really wanted to see him. No one wanted to see him. And just do your job, which he did well. And
he
you
did
can't
well.
Take that away from him. He was a phenomenal GM. But his ego, and his pride, and his desire to be accepted as one of the cool kids. Get him in.
On the K-Show with PLR right here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, the super bad. Sean Sierra, host Sean and Maya in the morning, Sports Zone Chicago. So when I'm watching this, and I'm looking at Scotty, I'm looking at Mike, and they're saying some stuff, and Scotty was saying some stuff. How long, though, in retrospect, how long did you think he was going to allow those two to just constantly berate him when technically he's their boss? I mean, was there a point where you knew it was going to end just because of the way they openly treated him?
That was part of the reason that Krause let it ended it. You know, he wanted to have the last word, and he did. You know, when he came out and said, Phil, this is the last year Phil's going to be coach of the Bulls. And he knew without Phil, Mike's gone. He knew at that point, without Mike, there's no way you can keep Dennis, because no one can keep Dennis under control. It was Michael and Scotty tandem. And is Pippa going to want to stay there after all the, you know, the things that he went through and the bad contract he signed? Probably not. But again, it was him wielding his power, saying, I have the final say, and you don't.
You know what he reminds me of? You ever watch some of those dumb people that watch television, watch your team, and they lose and they get mad and they break their TV? And you look at them like, dude, you just broke your TV. Now what are you going to do? Now
you
got to go out and buy a new TV. Yeah, now you got to go out and buy a new TV. And you don't even have the money to pay for the one you had. How stupid was that? When I see this and see what Krause did, I feel like he's the guy that got mad and broke his own TV, and now he has no TV. And now he has to listen to it on the radio. And to me, that's what the Bulls went from. They went from an 84-inch big screen, flat screen, you know, 5G, whatever, the whole nine, to a transistor radio. And as good as he did his job, if we give him credit for that, we have to then give him credit for how bad he did his job. And I know I'm jumping ahead, but the Bulls sucked after he blew him up. For a long time, and they still do.
Yep.
They have some years where they got, you know, they got incrementally better, made the playoffs, lucked into Derrick Rose, made a run, lucked into Ben Gordon. With those teams, they made some playoff pushes, but no one ever took them seriously. He did it to himself because, as you said, the ego killed him, and it just utterly seems ridiculous.
You know, the only person that comes close to infamy right now is Carole Baskin. that's the only person in Chicago, because right now it's Carol Baskin and or Jerry Krause, and I think Krause has a has the lead, because you know what, that was, you're right, it was. You know, my mom used to say something when I was a kid, and it's so funny how you, when your parents say things you don't understand them as a kid, like, Mom, that's so silly, you know. And then as you get older, you finally understand what the heck they've been saying for the last, you know, 15, 20 years. She would always say, tell me, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. And I was like, what, Mom, yeah. What the heck is this soup? But that's what Krause did. He cut off his nose because he was mad at his face. He was mad at the fact that he didn't get the love. He didn't get the accolades. He didn't get the glory. All right. So he's like, you know what? I'm just going to cut off my nose because no one likes my face. And now look at you. And that's exactly what he did. And it's unfortunate that he did that because, man, just think of the next year. Next year was the lockout year. So the amount of games, they played 50 games. So the wear and tear on the body wouldn't have been a whole 82-game season. You probably would have met the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals because they ended up going to the finals. So you beat them, which you probably would have because you knew they had them mentally before you even got on the court. You had them beat. Then you go and you play San Antonio Spurs and the Admiral and Tim Duncan. And what a way, you know what I mean? And how awesome would that have been? Imagine that, because they won the next couple.
Yeah.
So now you're like, okay, let me – now you got the Bulls knocking out the Spurs in the, you know, in the finals. That would have been phenomenal, you know. So it just – what could have been, man, that's just so unfortunate as to what, you know, why he did that. And, you know, I posted an article on Sports Zone Chicago on Facebook, on our Facebook page. The Tim Floyd, man, this is a damning – evidence for Jerry Krause. And Jim Floyd said, you know, don't break this up, man. He goes, let it die naturally. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it run its course. And he's like, no, you're going to be the head coach. Like, you talk about a stubborn dude, you know, and that's what it was. Is, you know, they would berate him, and that was very unprofessional on their parts, you know.
It was.
But you have to understand, well, for Scotty, Scotty screwed up. Scotty, that was his mistake. Nobody put a gun to his head to sign that long contract. Nobody. Okay? But you also have to look at the factors, the home life factors of Scotty. He had two people in a wheelchair at the house. He's a kid from Hamburg, Arkansas. Most people never heard of Hamburg, Arkansas. From super mild, super humble beginnings. And someone throws $18 million in your face in 1991. $18 million. You don't give a damn how long that is. You know, and he was stubborn. I would almost guarantee his representation said, nah, dude, don't do that. It's only $2 million, $2 plus a year. And he said he wanted that, even said it. He said he wanted that security. He was scared, you know, he didn't want to get hurt. That was him being stubborn. That was him not betting on himself. Remember, he even said, I didn't want to bet on that. I'm like, well, then that's your fault. So, you know, and then he couldn't take it. And he got mad. And that's why Michael said he was selfish, because you are selfish, because this is your contract. If you agree to this, then you play to it, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't, and he was mad, and he pouted, you know, and we talked about, you mentioned Reinsdorf. That's where Reinsdorf could have gone in and said, you know, let's rework it. He's done this. Let's do it. They didn't pay him until after the season when they did a sign and trade with him. So that was kind of bogus on their part. They didn't have to do it because there was a contract that was signed, but they could have done it, which would have gone a long way. And this is why to this day, free agents won't come over here because of what they did to Mike and Scotty.
Yep. I'm watching that. You know, it's kind of funny. A couple of things pop to my mind. Can't even sign a 7-year deal in the NBA anymore. You can do a 4 and out. So I think it's kind of funny. On the Kerry Lackey Law line, Cave Show with PLR, the one only Sean Sierra, Superback, Sean and Maya in the Morning Show, and Sports Zone Chicago. So I've got 3 minutes left, and I got two questions. Here's the first one. How come every time, and I know you saw Coming to America, every time I bring up Joe Louis, they throw Rocky Marciano at us. Every time something come out about Jordan, why we got to hear about LeBron James? Every time. Now, ESPN on Friday, one of the LeBron documentaries. How come every time we bring up Jordan, we got to somehow satisfy LeBron? LeBron fans are killing me, man. I've never seen such sensitive people in my life. He has not accomplished what Mike has accomplished. He has not done what Mike has done, nor will he do what Mike will do. And I'm going to take the 6-0 out. I'm going to take that out. But even if he gets the 6 rings, he hasn't. No one puts on a pair of LeBrons. You walk outside and go, "Oh, those are LeBrons." But the second you put on a pair of Jordans, everybody knows you got on Jordans. Everybody knows who he is. One name recognition. Why do I have to always hear the whining Bron fans every time we talk about Michael? Please explain it to me.
They ain't getting the love. Because LeBron is a phenomenal player. He's one of the greatest. I would say he's probably the greatest athlete to ever play to ever lace up a pair of sneakers. But that doesn't make you the best basketball player, and that's Mike. Okay, hands down, he's a there's nothing you can say about LeBron that he can't do. He can play 1-5. He can guard 1-5. He can shoot from all over the court, all over the field. You know, the wherever he's at. I mean, hell, he'll come across half court nowadays and hit it. But that doesn't mean you're the best, because there's a thing when the times get tough, when it's time and you have to carry a team. And some people say, well, how do you lead the team in front, you know, points, rebounds, and assists and steals in the finals? Which he did, and that's a phenomenal thing, you know. But there's a point where you have to will your team to victory, and Michael has willed his team to victory time and time out. He's done it, okay, from the flu game to, you know, holding the team together when Scotty was gone, you know, even getting them through the Pistons, because there's no physical, and that's one thing that LeBron never doesn't have to deal with. Is a physical play that Michael had to go through. Okay?
True.
You don't think Lambeer and Mahorn would have loved to have gone in the air and chest to chest with LeBron coming through the hole? Yeah, they would have loved it. They would have had the same rules, and would LeBron have been able to take it? I don't think so. His talent second to none. But mentally, I don't know if he would have been able to deal with it. So, you know, the LeBron fans, you know, they're the younger kids, they're the younger crew, and they're the, you know, the little more boisterous and loud group, and so they want their voice to be heard, and you know what, it can be heard, but, you know, you can tell me the sky is red, and it's not going to, you know, or orange or pink or purple, and like, no, it's actually not. So, you know, they just want to talk the talk, and don't get me wrong, they can put up a good argument, but when it comes down to it, there's a thing called the eye test, and you have to be able to look at it, and the cachet that he had was better than anything anyone has ever put in this league. And there's a lot of great ones from Magic and Larry to Kareem, even Kobe. There's nothing like Mike.
I agree. I got 45 seconds. I got one more question for you. Bears tomorrow. Can I expect them to trade, make moves, do anything to look into some kind of a pick?
I think they might, and I had a guy on my show today, and they might, Ryan Pace might do a Ryan Pace and, you know, trade one of his second round picks down and trade and go back so we can get a couple more picks, because after the Bears second round pick, they don't pick again until the 5th. Remember, they got the compensatory pick for Adrian Amos, but they traded that for Nick Foles. So after the second round, after the 50th pick, they don't pick again until like 163 or something like that. That's a long, long time to wait. So I would not be surprised if you see Ryan Pace trade one of those second round picks, drop back and get a third and a fourth, just so he has some consistent picks and he gets more. Because hey, truth be told, hey, he knocks it out of the park in rounds 3, 4, 5, and 6. It's just 1 and 2 that he sucks.
Yeah, just, no, not 1 and 2. Don't give him the second pick in the draft. You don't know that. Do not give him the second pick in the draft.
Well, don't give a first-round pick. Every single pick except for Roquan Smith was a project. Kevin White, project. Leonard Floyd, project. Mitch Trubisky, project. All three number one picks. You don't, in your number one pick, you don't take projects. You take surefire players, people who are ready. And everyone except for Roquan Smith, that was, he finally got it right, everyone was a project. And when you're taking a number two overall pick in the draft as a quarterback and a guy behind you, a couple picks behind you, goes out and wins an MVP in the Super Bowl, yeah, you look dumb.
Yeah, he looks dumb. You can't. One day I'm gonna walk into Office Max and see Mitchell Trubisky, but that's a whole different story because he won't be there buying paper. He'll be there helping me. my brother. Tell everyone how they can check your show out, how they can catch up with you, social media, all that stuff.
You know, I do it. I'll say it like I said on my show. If you want to follow me, just me personally online, let me tell you what I did. One handle for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, the Snapper. All one handle. It's called @TheSeanSierra. You can reach me. You can find the show on Facebook or at Sports Zone Chicago. Sports Zone Chicago for Facebook and Instagram. On Twitter, it's @SportsZoneShy. And then you can download our app and you can listen to us when we go live. Download the app. It's available. It's a free app. iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, wherever you get your apps, you can get it there. Sports Zone Chicago.
Yo, bro, I appreciate you. You know I'm going to bug you about some football and before I can make it back to Chicago. So you know you're going to get that text message.
Man, you know, me and you, we could sit and talk sports for hours and hours and hours, and we have.
Yes, and I can't wait to get back to Chicago to get to the studio and get in there with you and do what we do.
Cool, brother. I'm waiting. I'll be waiting.
All right, bro. I appreciate you, Sean.
Hey, no problem.
All right, talk to you later.
The one, the only
Sean Sierra, the Superback. So, what's next for us? We're going to switch up, and we're about to get into some wrestling. And we're going to do that with the one and only AZ Sports personality, wrestling aficionado, my brother in crime, Derek Montilla. And we're going to do that in exactly 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one and only, Derek Montilla. Derek, did you check out the pipes of the guy that did that last read over? And I lost him. Hold on. Let me try this again. Derek, are you there?
I'm here.
I said, did you check out the pipes on that guy that did that last read over?
Pretty smooth. Oh, that was a good commercial. I bet he did it in one take.
If I remember correctly, no. It took him a few. At least 26.
Nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah, what's 26 takes? You know, what's 25, 26, whatever it takes. Whatever you need to do.
I don't like the direction this has gone already before we even started.
How crazy are you driving Lily being a school teacher yet? Or have you passed the torch to your lovely wife?
She's already told me I'm the meanest teacher she's ever had. And I'm proud of that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh yeah, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to be your teacher.
Yeah, Amir and Paul Jr., especially Amir, told me I'm too hard. He's like, I'm too structured. Mm-hmm. He's like, Dad, I don't like you as my teacher. And I just sat there and I smiled because I'm like you. I don't care. I don't want to be your teacher anyway. So, but now that I am, buddy, you're gonna read. Until I get tired of looking at the words. So,
yes, sir.
I've never seen kids want to go back to school. These kids want to go back to school. They're tired of it.
They're sick of us. And the feeling might be mutual.
It really is. So, how hard is it for you to know that we're in this time of year, to know that we should be covering basketball, to know that we should be covering baseball, to know that we should be getting ready for the draft the normal way? Are you going out of your mind yet?
I've never really been an addict of anything, or at least I never felt like I was addicted to much. But now I kind of understand it a little bit. I feel like when I'm watching guys eat baked beans against each other on YouTube in a race, just because I need that visceral experience of competition. When I'm watching pro wrestlers play each other in video games. Not even wrestling video games. They're playing each other in games where they shoot each other, Call of Duty and such. Again, just for the competition aspect. When I was sitting there watching the Tom Brady Tuck Rule game against the Oakland Raiders on a Friday night, instead of doing anything of substance or of fun, those are the moments where I really felt, you know, I felt like when they talk about people who are pill addicts, you know, scraping the bottle just to get a taste. I felt that in my soul. I really miss sports. And all jokes aside, I thought that I would be kind of okay with this. We have covered sports for a long time, and for me, there are those moments where I feel like at times it's more of a job than the enjoyment that I once had of it. I think anybody that does anything fun for a living can say that. Like, there's those moments where it is a job. There's moments where you don't want to go to work, but you have to. And even with covering, you know, a game I love like baseball, I still have those days. I thought that this time off would be great and kind of just, you know, get me back to a point of really missing it. But no, I'm troubled. I'm not having a good time with this at all. Other people have adapted well. They're like, oh, I like working from home. I do not like working from home. No, I miss the ballpark. I miss my free ice. I'm a busy person and I don't like being still. The manager of Walmart has told me to stop coming so frequently. There's a lot of things going on in my life right now that aren't great because of this. My heart goes out to anybody that feels the same way. I think we're all, when we see these commercials that tell us over and over that we're all in this together, we really are. So I think a lot of us are feeling this same way. And I think it's okay. I think it's okay to say this sucks, but it's also okay to comply with the requests of our government and of, you know, the CDC and health officials, because we want this to go away. I think that a lot of these people that are being impatient about it, you know, they all have their personal reasons to be out there screaming and yelling about opening, you know, these states back up and getting things going again. I understand where some of them are coming from, because I too have lost income because of this whole situation. I think we just need to be a little bit more reasonable and patient about it. Fortunately, I'm able to be more reasonable and patient about it because I have other means of income. And again, I think it's easy to poke fun at how ignorant some of these people look out there protesting against people who essentially want to try to save their lives. But, you know, some of them are coming at it for the wrong reasons. I saw people holding up signs about wanting their sports back and wanting to get haircuts. And it's like, a little perspective here, people. You know, if you're a small business owner and your business is dying because of this, then I sympathize with you and I understand, you know, your frustrations. But if you're just out there mad because sports aren't on, then yeah, I'm sorry. It sucks for all of us, but we all need to just wait and give this thing time to play out. And if you want to blame somebody, blame Rudy Gobert.
You know what? I said this the other day, Derek, or actually I said this last week, whenever I said it. I said, you know, honestly, he was the blessing and the curse all at the same time.
He really was.
Because if it wasn't for him, there's no telling how many people actually would have or could have died, because sports would have went on. March Madness would have went on. No one would have stopped. And then by the time they caught it, who knows how many people would have been in arenas that caught it, or players that caught it and passed it on, from getting close to people signing autographs, or sports reporters that are, you know, 3 inches from someone's mouth with their cell phones recording. So it was a blessing and a curse. But I will tell you this.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. So I'm glad in a way that I'm not glad he got it. I'm glad, obviously, that he survived it. But in a way, it probably helped everything. But I will tell you this. I knew I had reached my point without sports when, over the last 3 days, I've binge watched Married at First Sight with my wife.
Ooh.
And I'm anxious for.
Woo!
yeah.
Yeah, I thought the baked beans thing was bad, man. Go. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I hear you, though.
And I'm looking for the finale tonight. The finale is tonight.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah, you're excited.
I'm excited. I'm like going, hey, what happened 5 months after? I can't wait to find out. Like, don't check Instagram because I don't want any spoilers.
Yeah.
This is married
at
first sight, dude. This is a game 7.
I know. Do you know how mad I was Lego Masters ended? I was so mad Lego Masters ended. I was like, can't we extend this a couple more weeks? Bring back some of the competitors. I know it was free tape, but let's figure something out here, people. You know, like, it is a good chance to explore other, you know, other forms of entertainment. There's other things out there that you might find that you like. But I think my bigger concern is that's going to dry up pretty soon as well. Because these television studios and movie studios haven't been in production. So there's going to be a point very soon here where we're not going to be getting any more new content if we don't do something to wrap this up. I will say that one of the forms of entertainment that has done an excellent job at providing content, even at the detriment of their workers, potentially has been the WWE and pro wrestling in general. WWE went on with their WrestleMania show. They've proceeded to still produce was live, but now is taped show every week with, you know, in front of no audience, but they're still doing their best to put on a product. It's just getting to a point now where, you know, some things have come out. There's some questionable, you know, determinations of it being an essential business in the state of Florida and how that determination came to be. There's the fact that one of the workers, somebody who was working for the company and was present at WrestleMania, did in fact come up positive for COVID-19. So they were all essentially, you know, exposed to the virus at WrestleMania. And there's just this continuing, you know, factor of producing the show and having it be on every week while there is so many people that are required to still produce it and be in the building at the same time. And obviously there's no social distancing when it comes to body slamming a dude. So there's just a lot of problems there. It's a double-edged sword because on one hand you're still providing content and that's what we kind of need right now. I mean, people need something to watch, something to take their minds off of the situation. However, I don't think anything should go on where people are potentially exposed, you know, to this virus and, you know, possibly have like long-term health effects from catching it.
Correct. I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only, my brother, Derek Montilla, personality over there at AZ Sports, does a lot of great things over there. If you're not following him on Twitter for content, you're nuts because he contents his Twitter. And there's content out there. So make sure you are on cap_K-man. But Derek, here's the thing, and I'm gonna say this, and I know it's not a secret. So let me figure out how wrestling became an essential job in Florida. Let's see, we have a president who has a wife who is in charge of the president's super PAC, who's friends with the governor of Florida, who can get a call from the friend's husband's buddy to say, leave them alone, let them do their thing. Now, I know Martha Stewart went to jail for a hookup, but to me, that sure does sound like a hookup.
It's an $18.5 million hookup that the super PAC run by Linda McMahon pledged the exact same day that the governor of Florida deemed WWE an essential business.
Yeah, coincidental.
It's completely coincidental. It's completely coincidental. You know what it is? Really what it is, it's a bold statement, like so many by the presidential administration, to essentially say, I don't care that you know what we're doing. Right? Like it's such a ridiculous thing, but at the same time, too, they're so brazen about it. Like, at least try to hide it in some way. You know, there's this funny story that I had from an actual friend of my father's who went to jail in Las Vegas for running this scam where his son-in-law was a programmer of chips for, you know, slot machines. And they figured out a way to, you know when slot machines were going to hit the jackpot. And they couldn't wait. And instead of spreading themselves out over time, they hit the jackpot like as a family 8 times in like 6 months. That came up on people's radar real quick, right? Next thing you know, the entire family's going to jail. You know, there's a way to do things that you're a little less suspicious about it, but when you don't care about the ramifications, then you can be brazen about it. And I feel like that's what went on here. It was a temporary hijacking of the state of Florida for WWE to continue doing its business, and the in return, Florida got nearly $20 million. I think the thing with it is that there was a weird justification in the state of Florida's blessing for the businesses that they were deeming to be essential, right? Where they were describing, you know, certain businesses that they needed to add, like wildlife parks and zoos that had animals who were still at the facilities. The facilities need to remain open, not to the public, but to the people that work there to care for the animals. So they had a provision in there for those type of parks because Florida has a lot of those parks. We're a big fan of them. If you watched Tiger King, you get to see stuff like that. But WWE somehow they slid in, you know, this provision about like live entertainment facilities that produce a nationwide television show and the actors and athletes that might produce, like, come on, dude, why don't you guys just say Roman Reigns and Hulk Hogan and this, why don't you just name wrestlers while you're at it? They basically singled out wrestling as being an essential business. No, wrestling is not an essential business. However, if the state of Florida wouldn't have done that, then maybe the state of Connecticut would have done it, and they would have taped from their headquarters like they're doing with their upcoming Money in the Bank pay-per-view that they have that's going to be coming from Stamford. There's other states that might have taken that money if Florida hadn't. So, hey, you know, might as well just take the money since you know that they're already based out of the Florida area and that's where they want to tape anyway. My bigger concern is that, you know, you have performers who pulled out based on medical and other, you know, reasons, right? You had Roman Reigns, who's recovering from leukemia, who had to pull out of WrestleMania. And, you know, the Roman Reigns had to justify his actions, where there should have been nobody questioning, or there should zero reason why. He has a young infant at home. He has older people that live with him, and he's just recently coming out of, you know, remission for leukemia. So, or in remission for leukemia, however you want to word it, or however the wording is correct. But Roman has plenty of reasons not to appear at any of these live events for the time being until things kind of clear up. And, you know, yet there's a lot of questions around his participation and his commitment to the company. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, I think that all of these guys should have the freedom to decide on their own part whether they want to participate or not. Now what you add in is the fact that last Wednesday they released a considerable amount of their roster and furloughed 9 producers. So you have now the fear of losing your job to this whole situation, whereas people now feel like they need to participate and can't, you know, have that say in it, can't actively want to not participate based on health reasons or, you know, fear of catching the coronavirus. They now feel like their job is on the line if they don't. WWE doesn't classify their employees as employees. They're all contractors. So contractors. They can cut ties. Yeah. They can cut ties with them whenever they want. And I mean, again, there's a lot of reasons there for these guys to be at these shows, even if they don't want to be at these shows or put their health on the line.
I was on Inside Sports with, Joanna last week on on the show that she has every Wednesday, and excuse me, on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Derek Montilla, AZ Sports personality, and knows more about wrestling, the wrestling biz, than anyone you could talk to. And I said, you know what, it kind of reminds me of the UFC. Dana White, I think, is 100% tone deaf in this. And we know wrestling, and I'll say this to anybody, yes, it may be fake, but when a 300-pound man throws a 300-pound man through a table, it's going to hurt. I don't give a crap what if it's scripted or not. That's gonna sting the body. But in UFC, that's not scripted. You have guys kneeing each other in the face. There's blood everywhere. You're breathing blood on each other. And in the UFC, because unlike other sports, Dana White can determine when you fight, who you fight, how much you get paid, what bonus he's going to give you. If you don't like it, too bad. Don't fight. Because he has that ultimate power, he can really screw you if you don't want to wrestle because of this. And I'm coming to see that the WWE is starting to get close to the same, because if you don't want a part in this or want to risk your life, or if you feel you're risking your life, you have issues. But in saying that, I watched last week. It's not the same, because I think you can pull off. I don't think you should do mixed martial arts. I don't think you should do boxing, but you can pull that off without an audience. Wrestling, Derek, I'm struggling, because a lot of the mic things that are done in an empty room, I'm like, why are you even talking? There's no one to react to what you're saying. You're really just wasting your time. It's basically, and I mean, there's no one to censor me. It's like you're masturbating, hoping to get someone pregnant. It doesn't work the same.
It don't work that way. You're doing it wrong. Yeah, I'll say this. Like, it's heartbreaking for me and the guys from thesteelcage.com, because we personally know the current WWE champion who beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, Drew McIntyre. Drew is one of the hardest working, most phenomenal people that I've ever met in pro wrestling. There's a lot of really good guys, a lot of really hardworking people. But Drew is probably one of the most legitimately nice guys. We have conversations to this day about what he's doing on TV, even though he's the WWE champion. He's still that humble to be asking an idiot like me what I think of things that he does sometimes in the ring, right? And I think our heart is broken that this is his big moment. You know, his big championship moment was at a WrestleMania with no audience. His nights of coming out and delivering some pretty funny, pretty solid work, both on the mic and some amazing work for a guy his size in the ring. And it's in front of nobody, you know, there's no way to gauge how the audience is approving of it, because that's a big part of wrestling is the pop, you know, the crowd reaction that they're getting from doing this stuff. He was getting a really good crowd reaction before he was even in the hunt for the championship at WrestleMania, let alone what he would be getting now as the champ. It's hard. And again, it's one of those situations where these guys, this is an ongoing television show as well as a scripted live sporting event. So they have to try to keep going on with these ideas and storylines that they were going to proceed with. It makes it really difficult because in some cases, some of the storylines are planned out for, you know, a considerable amount of time down the road, and they right now all they can really do is kind of run their course and do things the best that they can without an audience. But I don't know. I'm with you a little bit. I think that a lot of it is really hard. I think that they do make things as good as they possibly can. AEW, for instance, which is another wrestling company, they have some of their guys go out and watch the matches so that there is an audience of some kind, right? Sometimes it's funny because they have the guys betting and doing dumb stuff on the side. Sometimes they're the crowd that the guy jumps into when he does something off the top rope or something nuts, you know, or whatever. So they utilize their roster and try their best to give you that experience, but it's still one, not nearly the crowd experience that you get at a normal televised, you know, live wrestling event. And two, it's also putting all of these guys, you know, at risk, which I think that's the bigger problem. Wrestlers are treated as though they are disposable. And we've seen that with the firings that WWE, the releases, whatever you want to call them, that occurred last week. These guys are putting, you know, their bodies on the line every night just when they go out there and participate in this stuff. Like you said, you're throwing a guy, You're having someone land on you. There's no big secret. It's not a trampoline. It's wood planks with no support in the middle, so they give a little bit when you get slammed down. But aside from that, it's about an inch of padding and some canvas. That's it. It's not this big thing that some people think that it's all scripted and everything's all padded and they're not really hurting each other. These guys hurt themselves and each other night in and night out. I participate in a local independent wrestling promotion. And let me tell you, there isn't a single night where I'm in the back where I'm not looking at these guys thinking to myself, what the hell are you guys doing this for? I'm here as a manager, but I don't let anybody touch me or throw me nowhere, Jack. I mean, there's not a night where something simple didn't go wrong, like some guy going into the turnbuckle or whatever the case may be, where someone doesn't come back with a laceration or a black eye or, you know, the stinger, something in their back. I mean, most of the time it's not super serious. I've been lucky enough to not see anybody have to like leave by ambulance or get hospitalized, but you know, I've been at shows where I've watched someone break their leg right in front of me, where I was there as a fan. It's a dangerous business, and it doesn't need to have this extra layer of danger on top of it, of catching this, you know, virus that we have no idea the long-term ramifications of catching it. We've heard that it affects people's respiratory systems, possibly permanently going forward after catching it. And that's the last thing that any athlete would want to have happen to them, is have their respiratory system compromised by a virus, you know? So it is this big question about providing this entertainment versus the safety of their performers. It's been kind of something that pro wrestling has always kind of put out there, has been, you know, the safety of their performers as kind of an afterthought. So I think it's going to continue. I think they're going to continue to figure out ways to put on a show. And you know, hopefully we can find a way to get past this before anybody, you know, does get sick or has something bad happen to, you know, one of the guys.
Two quick things, because time is starting to become our enemy. One, I saw Ronda Rousey last week say she's never coming back full time. It wasn't what she thought. Maybe part time. Yada yada yada. Is it just me, or will she just shut up and go away at this point? Like, as long as I'm watching Flair and The Man, and I can't think of her name, but she has the blue hair. As long as I'm watching them, I don't really watch the girl that bites people. I'll do all that crap. But as long as I'm watching them, I really could care less if Ronda Rousey comes back. Why is she still talking? And do they want her back?
Yes, this is all a work. I think this is all an attempt to further the dislike of Ronda Rousey. She already left as a heel. So this is all just hype for her to come back to. This is all getting people to dislike her before she even sets foot back on a WWE television. And she will be back, especially when she clarifies it and makes sure to let everybody know when she says not coming back as full time. You know, of course she's not going to come back full time, because she was never intended to be a full time performer. She has that marquee name value where she doesn't have to be all around all the time. And in most cases with someone like her, it's probably best to give her some time off, or at least not have her be in the ring every single Monday like she was for a period of time. It's not to say that she's not capable in the ring. She's just still not at the same level as a lot of the women who are full-time performers in WWE. She definitely has a lot of, you know, a lot of great things going on, but I think this whole thing is just a way to get people to dislike her before, you know, she makes a return.
All right. She didn't need that. I disliked her back when she was in UFC. So I was good. I was good.
You'll dislike her more now. Yeah, no, okay. Sure. Your cup's full.
And then two, another quick one. Impact Wrestling, that comes on at like 3:30 in the morning on like MTV, and Rhino is wrestling over there. Have we reached a point where if you're a guy that is coming up and ascending, maybe you want to go through Impact and keep going. But if you're Rhino and you've been wrestling on a big stage, did you have no other trait in life? Because, Derek, that was the worst wrestling I think I've ever seen, with the worst characters, the worst mic skills. And if it was, if I could have gone to sleep, I would have. But there was absolutely nothing else on, and I figured I'd stomach through it. But that is god-awful, dude. How did they get a TV contract?
Okay, here's what I'll say is that from the perspective of someone like Rhino or anybody that's kind of a washed-up performer but can still maybe go in the ring, you're going to still draw that check, right? And if someone's going to pay you to basically do what's the equivalent of an hour's worth of work every week, you're going to take it. You stay in the spotlight. You still have people asking you for autographs, all of that stuff. But you do it if you're a younger performer because you make a name for yourself. Someone like Chris Bay in Impact Wrestling, who's an absolutely phenomenal talent. He goes there. He's there for a year or two, makes a name for himself. Then all of a sudden his, you know, value for someone like WWE is tenfold what it was before he, you know, before he ever appeared on TV. Being a televised pro wrestler is much different than being a pro wrestler. You know, they want sports entertainers. They want people that know how to face hard cam. They want people that know how to deliver promos to an interviewer on camera. These are all skills that not a lot of guys get exposed to when they're independent wrestlers. So I think that's the purpose of Impact Wrestling. They have a lot of good up and coming guys, but then there's a lot of ridiculous stuff going on there as well. It's really hit or miss, but yeah, I mean, at this point, I think WWE has tried their best to produce so much content that they make you not need any additional content outside of the WWE production realm. So, you know, I think that's where we're at right now, but, you know, whatever. Get your wrestling where you can.
And that's why I watched Married at First Sight in a binge. Yeah, and then lastly, I'm going to go back to the very first thing you said. When we started this, before I let you go, I'm all down with America's right to protest. If you don't like the way something's going, by all means, get out there and protest against it. But I do want protesters to do one thing for me. If you call a doctor a liar and says he has no clue, and you're protesting because you're ready to go back to work, you should take your mask off, because if he's a liar, why are you out there protesting with the mask on? Keep yourself safe. So take your mask off. Don't use it to save your life, because you already said the person is a fraud. And the person who tried to rip off Taylor Kinnerup's mask, they should find them and beat them. And I said it, and I don't care.
Well, I'll definitely keep my comments about that to myself, because that kind of stuff gets me so fired up. I feel the same way about healthcare workers having to come out and stand in the way of cars that are impeding people going to hospitals or health facilities or anything like that. I'm strangely intrigued by how people wearing masks with machine guns hanging off them, standing in front of Capitol buildings, are okay. But yet when we had people here, peacefully protesting without weapons, they were arrested for blocking traffic. Especially when this last protest, the entire name of it, I believe, was Gridlock Arizona. So their whole purpose was to block traffic with their thing. There's a definite double standard there. It's ridiculous how the same people who we're so in favor of government coming in and taking some action when things aren't going their way are the same ones that are accusing the government of somehow, you know, now being power hungry and trying to do something to control the people. I've heard some of the most ridiculous conspiracy theories, and it's all nuts to me. At the end of the day, man, none of us know really how to react to this virus, and so the best thing is to err on the side of caution and do as people who are much smarter than most of us are telling us to do. I think not only do we have the information from doctors, but we have other countries that are further along in the process, but have done the exact same thing as us as an actual litmus test for us to view and to make corrections on. It's like seeing into the future, yet we don't want to do that. It's very odd to me, and it's frustrating at times.
Well, hey, I say this. Those that want to risk it, hey, if you're still here in a couple weeks, cool. Now I know it's safe. So you, as we always say, you do you, Playboy. But tell them your Twitter, bro, so they can keep up with you and follow what's going on.
I'll just say this: I don't buy PlayStation 4 games when they release anymore. If you know what I'm saying, right? I let everybody else buy them, beta test them for about 2 months, and then I buy them for like half the cost on sale. You can get me on Twitter at @cap_caveman with a K. You can find me on ArizonaSports.com. We do some fun work with the Diamondbacks. We do a podcast over there called Ain't No Fang, so please check that out. And if you're interested in hearing any more about pro wrestling or snacks, check out thesteelcage.com, where you can find me doing podcasts about both of those things.
You know what's weird? I have to keep remembering to reset you with an introduction, because we did a show together for so long. When you're on, it just feels like we hopped in this time machine and went back. And I look up and I say, crap, I got to reset him because he's a superstar now, and I got to reset him. And
oh,
I keep forgetting. So I apologize, because I have to keep reminding myself to reset, because it feels so natural.
Oh, stop it. I appreciate that, though. I wouldn't be doing any of this stuff if it wasn't for the Sports Cave.
Nah, I don't know about all that, man. Like I told you a long time ago, talent finds a way. And so a lot of folks probably don't know that we've been doing this together, goodness, 9 years now, 10 years, somewhere in that ballpark, because you hopped on right near the beginning. And so, like I said, when you're on, it just seems like we're back to doing what we did. And I have to always remember to make sure you're getting the love and people know where you are. So I appreciate you coming on. Take care of the family. I was looking for a picture to put on. I found some old pictures, man. I don't know. I got some muscle tees of you. I might have to use that for blackmail. And I found a couple more pictures of Amir holding Lily's hand. So I got a lot of good stuff today. It's amazing what you do when you're quarantined, the stuff you can find.
Yeah.
So I'll hold
it's
on.
All,
to a lot
it's
of
all about
that
having the time. It's all about having the time. Well, thank you for blackmailing me, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, bro. Tell the family I said what's up.
All right, same to you, man. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you. All right, that's my fan, Derek Montiel. We really go way, way back. All right, well, listen, I've gone over it. Let's wrap this up. You can check us out tomorrow. Tomorrow's NFL Draft Day. We will have a special guest. I'm just waiting for the confirmation before I drop the name, so it will be dropped on social media. Thank you to the Superback, my main man from Chicago, Sean Sierra. And I just said thank you to Derek Montiel. They all we're here via the Carrie Lackey Law Line. So thank you for hopping on with me today at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. Cave, of course, is with a K. Thesportscave.com. Cave is with a K. If you missed any part of the show, you can always check us out 3 p.m. every day at KSRN as well. Make sure you check in out the KSRN network. There's so many great shows on there as well, so make sure you get on there and checking them out, the replay of this show as well. Also, you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. We will be back tomorrow. It is Friday Eve tomorrow. Listen, everyone, please be safe. Do what you feel is right, but take care of you and yours at the end of the day. This has been The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. God bless everyone, and we will see you on Thursday.